Of course, there are only two people here. So our natural reaction is, oh, there's so few people. But probably a better way to reflect on this, especially since I said at the beginning that we're representing those who can't come, rather than think about how few that we are, better to think of how many people there are who can't be here or who can't go to Mass, so that we are more aware of our spiritual bond with them. And also, we remember the value of the Mass is not based on how many people are there. A Mass with many people is not more valuable than a Mass with only a priest, because it's of immeasurable value anyway. It's the sacrifice of Christ for us. Now, with that in mind, I am going to speak a little bit, partly for the sake of you who are here, but also for those who might listen to this recorded version. And those of you who are here, since it's just the two of you, I think this gospel applies to you. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, well, you gave Gatorade to sister, so that counts. You gave her Yakult, so that counts also. So you both gave her something because she belongs to Christ, so you get the reward. You will surely not lose your reward. So, but that's that little verse in the middle of this gospel probably is not the one most people notice. In fact, in these readings, if you look at them as a whole, there seem to be two different messages that are unrelated. One message, and I think this might be what most people would pay attention to, is the dramatic message, the message that Hollywood would pick up on, cutting off your feet and cutting off your hand and plucking out your eyes, and rich people burning up because they are so greedy and unjust, and their clothes rotting away and their gold and silver corroding, and they're weeping and wailing. So the second part of the gospel and the second reading seem to go together. Dramatic images of bad things. And we picture Hollywood showing hell with people who have two hands and two eyes and two feet, and people in heaven with only one hand and one eye and one foot. Okay, that's one side. And then there's the other message, which is clearer in the first part of the gospel and in the first reading. These are very close parallels. This message against jealousy or against taking possession of what belongs to God. We hear Joshua saying to Moses, stop those people from prophesying. We hear John saying to Jesus, we tried to stop that man from driving out demons. And in both cases, Moses and Jesus, they both say, no, that's the wrong attitude to have. Don't be jealous. Don't be possessive. Let the work of God be extended to everybody. Would that everybody was a prophet. Would that everybody would participate in the building up of the kingdom and the overcoming of evil. So Moses and Jesus give us this message. Now, what we're stuck with is, now it seems like two different themes, they don't seem connected. I'd like to just try to connect them briefly here. Starting with this part about jealousy, the problem that we see in Joshua and in the Apostle John, jealousy and this rigidity or this narrowness, this is evidence of putting oneself in the middle, or making oneself the standard by which we judge things. It's not obvious to the person who's doing it. I mean, Joshua thinks he's defending Moses. John thinks he's defending Jesus. They think that it's better that other people don't get what they have. But you see the problem as soon as I say it that way. Why is it better if someone doesn't get what's good? Why is it better? Because then we get it and they don't? That's where jealousy is. Jealousy is this fear that I'm going to lose something. And that doesn't apply to things of God, because with the work of God, there's no losing when other people gain. It's not as if somebody is doing good, then I'm doing bad, or if someone grows, I shrink, or if someone shines, I get dark. No. Maybe in the world, that's how things work. If someone gets more, I get less. But with God, the more good there is, the more everybody benefits. It's like the spread of light. If more light shines on you, it doesn't mean that I have less light. In fact, the more light that shines on you, the better for me too. Because light radiates to everybody. That's why Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. The only people who are not with us are those who are choosing darkness. But if someone is striving for goodness, even if they're ignorant or imperfect in how they do it, well, there is light shining from them, and we should accept that. So the danger is this this tendency we have to think that our standard is God's standard, meaning the way we see things is the way God sees things. That's what has to be cut off. We don't have to cut off our hand, but we have to cut off our tendency to use our hand to serve ourselves. A hand is for service, for work, for gift. If we use our hand to grasp or to punch, then we're misusing that hand, and we should cut off that tendency. Same with the foot. A foot is to move us toward others. It's to use it for journeying on the path of righteousness. If we're going in the wrong direction, we have to cut that off so that we can journey with the Lord, not against him. Same with the eye. The eye is to take in light, take in what is good. If we're using the eye to take in what is dark, what is evil, for misusing the eye, to cut that tendency off. Cut it out. What we see in this need to cut off something is there's something in us that is disordered, and we're responsible for it. This is why James is so sharp with the rich. You see, the rich, now he's talking about evil rich. He's not just talking about people who have money, but about people who either gain money in immoral ways or who use their money in immoral ways. Why is he telling them to weep and wail? Because they're not cutting off what they should cut off. And this is a danger with wealth or any gift. It gives us the idea that we can establish the standard. Again, it's actually the same problem that Joshua and the Apostle John have. They're rich, and they think that if somebody else does it, then they will lose some of their richness. That's the wrong idea. Rich people tend to think this way. They think that if they give to others, or if they use their riches in such a way that they have less in their bank, they are worse off. Wrong way to think. What is money for anyway? So wrong way to think. That has to be cut off. The tendency in the modern world is a mentality of richness, meaning a mentality that says, I can determine for myself what is good. In fact, it's gotten so extreme now, people are claiming they can determine for themselves not only what's good, but what is. So that reality is what I say it is. That's how far we are from the truth, how much we have to cut off in modern thinking. People are even saying they can determine for themselves whether they're men or women. Well, what about God? What about what God determines? What about the one who created us and everything? We do not have the right to determine what creation is, what we are, what right and wrong is. Those things are set by God. And if we think we're setting those standards ourselves, we have to cut that off, or we're going to end up in Gehenna with with two hands and 2 feet and two eyes and plenty of money, and we will have lost everything because we've set ourselves up against God. So if there's anything in us that is against God, it has to be cut off. Ruthlessly cut off. We are made not for keeping or for self-serving or for judging. We're made for love. And love chooses what's good for others. Love makes it possible for us to give of ourselves for the good of others. Even if it's only a cup of water or a bottle of Gatorade or a bottle of Yakult, it doesn't matter how much it costs. If it's a gift that comes from us for the good of another, that's good. If we're turning everything to ourselves, or we're making ourselves the standard, that's bad. So that's perhaps enough of a reflection for this setting. Let's continue to not only cut off what is an obstacle to the kingdom of God, but keep choosing what is the way of God. Yeah, there are some things we have to cut off, but there are some things we have to keep adding on. More love, more patience, more mercy, more prayer, more willingness to listen to God first, but to one another, and to respond with love to God and to one another. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart.